In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will lift the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and will call on the name of the Lord. I will lift the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may be continually manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Nothing that remains until the morning Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord. Having loved his own who were in the world,
Jesus now showed them the full extent of his love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
blessed communion in your never-ending feast.
In the name of Jesus. The children sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands," and they're right. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Now, what does he do with that authority? What does he do with all that power? St. John tells us, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had all power, Jesus laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. The one who has power over all acts as the servant of all. He does the very lowest slave's work, washing dirty feet. God the Father has not washed dirty feet with his hands, neither has God the Holy Spirit, because they do not have hands. Jesus is not only God, the Son, he is also human, like you and me, which means he has hands. Hands that can and do take filthy feet and wash them. Behold the man who is also God, the God who amazingly washes filthy feet. For at least two reasons. One, because he's in the habit of washing whatever needs to be washed, whether it's the disciples' feet or our lives. And two, he wants us to learn to wash what needs to be washed, to love as we have been loved, to wash one another's feet. When Jesus came into this world, he set aside, took off, you might say, the full use of his power as God. He's still God. He just didn't use all of his power most of the time. If he took that use of power off, it ought not surprise us that he also takes off his outer garments, sets them aside so that he can pick up the sandal-shod feet of his disciples and wash the grit and the grime from between their tootsies. But he does not just do that for the disciples. He does it for all of us. He's got the whole world in his hands, which is to say he's got all of our filthy feet in his holy hands. Why does he wash the disciples' feet? Because he's in the habit of washing what needs to be washed, and their feet need washing. They're dirty. But you can kind of understand Peter's protest. We should be washing his feet. He shouldn't be washing ours. God shouldn't act like a slave. It's beneath the dignity of a deity to stoop to the role of a lowest servant. Proper gods need to maintain some distance from their creatures, especially creatures who have rebelled against his graciousness and goodness. So you understand why Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus replies, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me, Peter." So much for Peter's pious pretensions. So much for our pious pretensions, because we too realize that we ought to be washing Jesus' feet. But this is the night when we are reminded that if he does not wash our feet, if he does not do the work of the most menial slave, do what is more humiliating than anyone in all of history has ever been asked to do, then we are doomed for all eternity. It doesn't shock us that the God who was willing to pour water into a bowl to cleanse his disciples would pour blood from a cross to cleanse us. And it wasn't many hours after he washed his disciples' feet with water that he washed our lives with blood. The two go together. One was anticipating the other. But do understand that both the cleansing of the disciples' feet and the cleansing of our lives is possible only if Jesus becomes human, only because of his incarnation. When he became a man, Jesus did not cease being God, but he added his humanity for a reason, so that the master of all could be the servant of all, so that he would have body and blood that he could sacrifice for us and our salvation. Because it takes a body to be the Passover lamb sacrificed, so that his blood can mark us and death will pass over us. Why? Why does Jesus put on flesh? So that we can have a share with him, so that he can serve us. Why does he wash feet? Literally for the apostles, figuratively for us, because he is in the habit of washing whatever needs to be washed, disciples' feet in our lives. But there's another reason why he washes feet that day. It's to teach us to wash feet, to wash whatever needs washing, to learn to be the slaves of all, even though our Lord Jesus has made us masters of all. He wants us to learn to do the most menial of tasks, even something degrading or humiliating, when it is the need of someone around us. So Jesus says to the apostles, "Do you understand what I have done to you? I have given you an example." He wants us to emulate him. This is not to suggest that you should go running to the mall and wash the feet of all the shoppers, or better yet, go to the end of a really dusty hiking trail and offer to cleanse the toes of all of the people who come hiking sandal shod down that trail. They don't really need you to wash their feet. What Jesus is asking us to do here is to meet the needs of people in our lives. And he tells us how we are to do it. "A new commandment I give to you," a new in Latin, mandatum, mandate, from which we get the term Maundy Thursday. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Well, he's always told us to love one another. How is that new? Oh, it's the last part that's new, "just as I have loved you." Because he has become a human, because he's put on flesh like ours, because he's washed feet and then gone to the cross. Now we can see visually with the eyes of our bodies that this is a God who does love us. So we love as we are loved. "And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, when you do what people need to have done, no matter what the consequence might be, no matter how embarrassing, humiliating, or beneath your station in life." Which is to say, when you forgive people that you know are going to continue to hate you and treat you like scum, you are loving as you have been loved. When you stand outside of an abortion clinic praying for the lives of the women and the children, and you're getting cussed at, you are loving as you have been loved. When you clean poop off of a baby or an elderly person who is helpless, you are doing God's work, loving as you have been loved. These things seem humiliating sometimes, but they are the work of loving as we have been loved. When you help people who don't deserve your help, the people who hate you, despise you, maybe even want you dead, that's loving just the way Jesus did. Loving as you have been loved. "And by this all people will know that you are his disciples, My prayer is that they'll notice that you're his disciples already here on this earth. They'll see what you have done and they'll say something different is motivating these people. And they'll find out that it is the love of Christ that has sacrificed himself for you. But even if they don't notice it in this world, they're going to know at the end of time. All people will know that you are his disciples. And they'll realize that you have been motivated all along by the love of a God who laid down his life for you. So love, care, sacrifice, love as you've been loved. But do not assume that somehow that ingratiates you with God. Oh, he loves it. He rejoices over it. But that is not what makes you right with God. Because Jesus has said, love as you have been loved, which would be to love self-sacrificially all times and at all places and in all circumstances, and we don't do that. Which is why we need a Jesus who's not just our example, but is also our washer. And that's precisely what he's come to be, to wash us with his hands. He's got the whole world in those hands. And he makes sure that those hands get nailed to a cross. With those hands, he washes the disciples' feet, even when he knows that they are going to turn on him. With those hands, he uses your pastor's hands to pour the cleansing over you in your baptism, even when he knows that you will turn away from him. With those holy hands, he takes bread, gives thanks, says, this is my body, and serves it to the disciples and to us. Behold those hands that take also the cup, give thanks, declare that this is his blood, and pour out that contents of that cup into our bodies for the forgiveness of our sins. You behold the man whose holy hands are feeding you and me with nourishment so that we can be about the task of faith in God and a fervent love for one another, the Christian life. Behold the man who cleanses filthy feet. Why? Well, because he's in the habit of washing what needs to be washed, disciples' feet in our lives, and because he wants us to learn to wash what needs to be washed, to love as we have been loved. Behold the man who is also God, the God who absolutely amazingly washes our filthy feet and lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Amen. On this night, when we remember how Jesus met human needs by washing feet and giving us his Holy Supper, and then by allowing himself to be betrayed for our salvation, let us pray for ourselves, for Christ's church, and for the world. Holy Lord, inspire in us repentance and a constant desire to love you as you love us, not worrying about anyone's worthiness, but only about their need. By the gift of your Son's body and blood, assure us that our sins are forgiven and strengthen us to forgive those who sin against us. For lives filled with faith and love, let us pray to the Lord. Holy Lord, since your Son taught us that as often as we eat his bread and drink his cup, we proclaim his death until he comes, use every proclamation of Christ to turn those who do not have faith to trust in the Passover Lamb who offered himself for our salvation. For the clear proclamation of Christ's death for us, let us pray to the Lord. Holy Lord, bless your people throughout the world. Strengthen our common confession so that we rejoice in the oneness that you give us. When we stray, use us to call each other back to your truth. Provide opportunities for your people around the world to encourage each other in the Christian faith. For the church in her unity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Lord, we penitently confess that we are prone to stray. Guard and defend each one of us from the temptations of the devil and the world and our own sinful inclinations. Forgive our sin. Strengthen our faith. Keep us as your own until you bring us to feast with angels and archangels and all your saints at your heavenly table. For steadfast faith until the end of our lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Lord, hear our prayers for those who are sick, suffering, dying, and grieving, especially those we now name silently before you. Since your Son suffered as we do, and since you know our needs far better than we do, give to each of them and to each of us your gracious care. For those who suffer in this world, let us pray to the Lord. Holy Lord, teach us to examine ourselves so that confessing our sins, we come in repentance to receive our Savior's body and blood. Remind us that by those gifts we live with the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Wash our lives, renew our faith, and strengthen us to love and to forgive even those who sin against us. For fruitful reception of Christ's supper, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Grace this table with his presence and give us in this supper a foretaste of the feast to come. For his sake, graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all honor, glory, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus, take on me and purge away my sin.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin and death and the devil, everything that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention this night to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord, on this night when he instituted that blessed meal, it's proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves as Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess those sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we examine our hearts and our consciences, we will find nothing in us but sin and death from which we cannot free ourselves. But our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man so that he might fulfill the whole will and law of God for us. In order to deliver us, he took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. And so that you and I might be more confident of this and be strengthened in faith and holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he was saying, "I became man, a man with a body, and all that I do and suffer is for you and your good. And as a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I've had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, to comfort and establish in this new, to comfort you and establish this New Testament, which grants you forgiveness and everlasting salvation. And as a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and he has eternal life. We also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. And giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him according to his commandment. We love one another as he has loved us. Our Lord on this night exemplified that love by washing his disciples' feet, and now we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but also in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. You may kneel for confession, or you may sit. We join in the confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your present and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, turned away from us The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.